That's the spirit.
Peter Lynham.
Hello, how are you?
Not bad, buddy, not bad. And John's actually pretty good as well. I speak for John, even though he's about a metre away from me.
Very good, yes.
What's on the spiritual agenda, shall we say?
Well, I mean, coronavirus is on everybody's agenda, and there's a bit of a spiritual dimension developing to the story.
In South Korea.
Okay, I'm steepling my fingers.
In South Korea, though not just in South Korea. There's actually a version of the story that congregations, that religions are spreading the virus. Also in Singapore, where a couple of the mega churches have been probably the source of contamination in Singapore.
I guess it is a gathering.
It's really interesting.
It is a gathering of a lot of people on a regular basis, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's also everybody's sitting there passively, and you can be sprayed on by the contaminated, who of course don't know that they're contaminated.
Right, right.
And I guess once we leave school, we don't too often, or leave lectures at university, we don't too often sit in a large crowd of people where infection is possible.
I try and avoid it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, even lecture groups can sometimes be quite small, and you can stay at a distance.
Too risky to get caught up in the mob.
Yeah, that's clearly the logic, that church is dangerous. Go online is obviously the answer.
So these particular churches in South Korea, are they doing it on purpose, you think, Peter?
What? No, I don't think so. But you see, we have talked about the church involved in South Korea before, because this is the Shincheonji church that's been very active on Auckland University's campus. So if they were doing it deliberately, you all better put your masks on straight away at the University of Auckland. Because, in essence, the Shincheonji is sort of behind the scenes working away to make an influence in Auckland, and it's doing so especially through student groups and through infiltrating churches, and it never says who it is. And so it's not unlike the Victory Group we talked about last week.
All right, right, right.
And indeed, some of its connections reflect that same sort of trend in South Korea to view religion in an apocalyptic sort of way. You know, there was a stage when South Korea emerged from the Korean War, was living in crisis to a great deal, and so dramatic bits of the Bible appealed to some people, and there was a huge plethora of these religious sectarian groups, and the leader of the group in Korea, this specific Shincheonji, was in fact, you know, he'd been a member of various of these separate cults, if we must call them that, has, because it's all done in a concealed way, you know, these are secret groups, you can't just walk in and attend their meetings. As a result, it's very easy for misinformation to spread quite quickly and them to be resistant to bringing their regime into some sort of decent order.
Yeah, but what do they don't have to say what they're doing, do they? Everyone can have their own little club behind a thing and do their thing in most places.
That is true, but the thing is that Shincheonji, I mean, I have been emailed by somebody from the States a few weeks back suggesting yet another version in which this group sort of appears as a naive, innocent organization, a Bible study organization in this case. And yet if you dig deeper, you find, well, actually, it's masquerading itself as an ordinary religious group.
It depends if they're like studying their own Bible, you know what I mean?
Or
they're like, which version are you?
It's not simply that.
Right.
I mean, I think everybody ought to be explicit where they're coming from, you know? And so that I think is very disturbing when a group pretends to be a, for example, appears, as in the case in Auckland, in a big Baptist church, and invites people along as though it was approved by the members to come along to our little group as part of the church. And it turns out to be a group that, that will eventually get you to leave your family, denounce your family, indeed accuse your family of molesting you.
Yeah, after a thorough brainwash.
Is it a cult?
I think that's the usual language used about it. I think it fits the categories pretty clearly.
A cult who are secretive about their actions and have obviously had cases of coronavirus, which have then spread or are beginning to spread out into the wider community.
What's interesting about the coronavirus is just how it all, how the world copes with it. With like, I noticed the PM's like, oh, we're not, you know, the ban, the travel ban's sort of getting upheld and stuff. I just wonder, you know, we seem to have these measures, but like, when do the measures kind of stop? Because literally, if we're just trying to stop people from traveling, then it's like, fucking hell, everyone's freaking out, really, aren't they?
Totally agree. I do think there's a massive overreaction to this. For example, I mean, people who've, I had a friend.
Well, I don't know the process, you know. We haven't seen that much of it. I feel like it, going forward with humanity and more people, we're probably going to see more of it, and we're going to see the way it's dealt with maybe better, but it feels like we're kind of just shooting from the hip when this stuff kicks off, you know.
Yes, well, you see, here's the case in point, that my friend had her family arriving from Hong Kong.
Right.
On Thursday, so presumably they had passed the various tests to get on the flight from Hong Kong, and then her family demanded that the entire family go into a further 14-day self isolation.
What was that? Where? What? At their house.
This is the good folk of Glenfield.
Okay. You know? Okay. Oh, so they're just taking it upon themselves to just go a little bit harder on it because of what they've said.
Yeah, and saying we don't want you even breathing anywhere near us.
Right.
For the next fortnight.
What a strange feeling to get that to be that person that people saying that to you. Eh?
Yes. Well, this is the extraordinary thing, and so I mean, when it passes around within religious groups where there's a high level of commitment, you see, so it'll make people keep coming.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
To a group.
Annually, yeah, regularly. Yeah.
That's right. And then on the other hand, the effect of the fear of the virus is to drive us into almost complete isolation from one another. And it's as though the communal aspect, which actually we're all going to have to depend on, because somebody's going to have to deliver the shopping to us, the communal aspect of life is regarded as the suspect aspect of the story that we, in effect, we can't afford to have anymore. So we'll all be safe if we lock ourselves in our houses.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in a way.
Never mind, we'll have the internet.
In a way. We'll all be safe individually. As long as the water stays on and the power stays on and all that stuff.
And groceries are delivered to the door.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, I mean, the fear of a virus.
Community has to take care of community as well.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, effectively, you can see why apocalypse. This is a new apocalypse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if it keeps going, and if we keep extending travel bans, et cetera,
starts to feel like borders, doesn't it? Starts to feel like walls.
Well, that's right. And, of course, in the end, it can't work.
Yeah.
All they're trying to do is to slow the spread until some kind of treatment has been proven or successful. But this is asking quite a lot to achieve doing this.
It's true. We will obviously, everyone's going to keep an eye on this.
It's part of
living at the
moment. Skeptical in the meantime, I'd have to say.
Fair enough.
Skeptical that we can achieve it, although I must admit, if I knew somebody had come from China, I might be a bit cautious about...
It's natural, I think.
Someone has messaged in saying 76,000 so far have been infected and 2,500 or so have died, not an overreaction.
And I understand that, although that's the average rates for flu. You know, the death rate is not particularly high.
Is it mostly the elderly and the people?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Now that's the bit that disturbs people.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Is that it seems to be afflicting people in middle ages.
Okay.
And I've heard various explanations of why that's the case and haven't understood a word of them. There you are. But I guess vulnerability strikes where goodness knows why it strikes or why people are vulnerable, but there must be some other factor besides age. Mm.
Sure.
All right, Peter, we might wrap it up there.
Well, yes, just put your mask on, that's all I'd say.
Yeah, we'll change these pop socks on these microphones. And John and I might stop pashing. We'll see how it goes.
And happy Tibetan New Year as well.
Yes.
As one of your listeners has pointed
out. Yeah, somebody wanted to talk about all the New Years and how they all happen, if that was maybe something that would fall into your realm.
We missed Buddha's birthday as well last week, for which I apologise.
Oh, God's sakes. No, you're right, mate. Thanks, mate.
Okay, see you.
See you.